And there we go. So, if you would please stand, we'll sing our call to worship, Oh Worship the King.
Hillcrest. Hope everyone is doing well this morning. Just a few announcements. Next Sunday morning at 6:30, we're going to have sunrise service. We hope that you all can join us in that sweet time of singing and prayer and a special message as we celebrate Easter. What else? Next Friday, April 9th, the youth will be having a lock-in here at the church, and it will be as socially distanced as possible. We will be playing some games that will be separate, so we will be safe in that. But we do ask if you have youth who are interested in coming to the lock-in, come see me and talk to me about that. We are also praying for Fuge this summer. In June, we will be going to Fuge as long as everything continues to be okay. We're going to have a meeting, an interest meeting, on April the 11th, right after service. If you'll stay in here, we'll have a little discussion of about Fuge. And I think that's all the announcements. If you didn't get the announcement the other day, the work day yesterday was canceled. If you didn't get it, then you probably showed up and nobody was here. So we will be rescheduling that for a date in the future, not in the past. No reschedule? No, I was talking to Miss Rhonda because she knows, really. We will give out more information about a possible work day. And I think that's all the announcements we have. But it is good to see everyone here this morning. We want to welcome our visitors as well as our home folk. And the way we're going to welcome you is we're going to stand up and we're going to sing and wave.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joy dares with Jesus as we travel this heart. For I'm part of the family of God.
you may be seated as we continue on with Crown Hymn with Many Crowns. Please stand as we continue on with our last hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Only thou art holy,
may be seated.
I say thanks for the things you have done for me, things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to Thee. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things He has done. With His blood He has saved me, with His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done. Just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to Thee. And should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. With His blood He has saved me, with His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done.
I want to say Wayne nailed it, but I'm not going to say that. He did a wonderful job. He blessed us. What a voice he's developed. I got a prayer concern I want to share with you in just a second, but I want us to see about a two-minute video from the president, the director of our North American Mission Board, and then after we view that, I want to share a prayer concern with you that really affects all of us. So, Alex, go ahead and show that video now. Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about people who do some of the hardest, most important work on earth. They start churches in places where people tell them, we don't need church. They provide food and shelter for families who don't even have the basics of life. They share the gospel everywhere for everyone. They are North American missionaries. It's always been hard doing what they do, but it's not always been like this past year. When the world shut down, the easy thing for them would have been to wait, hold off, or to stop. But that didn't happen, and it never will. Because for your North American missionaries, the mission always moves forward.
We're still sharing the gospel. We're still impacting lives. We're still here. We never stopped.
Right now, your North American missionaries are adapting. They're innovating. They're coming up with new ways to take the gospel into places it's never been before. You can do that when you have tens of thousands of people like you who give to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering.
Ministry costs money, and so your giving enables us to continue to spread the good news of the gospel.
You see, no matter what's happening around us, when the world says stop, God always says go. That's why we're seeing new churches planted. We're seeing needs met, and we're seeing believers baptized. It's what happens when God's people give, pray, and go. Thank you for praying for your missionaries, because prayer is powerful. And thank you for giving to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. As you do that, you provide the fuel that moves the mission forward. There's so much work to be done, now more than ever. It's estimated that there are 275 million lost people in North America. And so, what happens next in this story is up to you.
The prayer concern I want to share with you is I read a book on missions. You know, we started this past Wednesday praying through the missionary stories. So I read a book having to do with missions, and it gave an idea of what missionaries go through and how we ought to pray for them. And if you're like me, sometimes you don't know how to pray for them. So they gave us specifics of how to pray, and they have children. And sometimes the children have no friends where they go. How often do we pray for those young children, whether they be 5 years old or youth? The mom and dad go and they're adults and they can put up with not having too many friends, but kids like to have friends. So how often do we pray that our missionaries, you know, we've got over 3,000 home missionaries, over 5,000 foreign missionaries, how often do we pray for those families? And then I read in the same story where one lady and her husband, he's a preacher, they have 10 children. They've adopted 8. And the oldest is 21 years old last year, and she accepted the call and got trained to go to some, I forgot what foreign country it was, 21 years old, and went out on her own to serve the Lord. And when she got there, she was all hyped up and all excited, because that's the way we do when we get excited for the Lord. And then when she got there, she was the only American around. Everybody else that she'd been talking to had other friends, other relatives that they hung around with. So a 21-year-old got hit with having nobody to turn to, no friend, no prayer partner. And it took her over a year and a half to develop just a couple friends that she could turn to. How often do we pray for our missionaries? And then I heard on the radio this morning, I think it was the radio, there's 3 missionaries right now in Algiers that are facing, they're going to be tried this week for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're going to be tried for treason. And most likely, in my mind, they're going to be put to death for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this country has also put a stop to any church worship, and there absolutely can be no new starts of church. That's the prayer concern right now. Those 3 missionaries that are giving their life to the Lord to share the gospel They could very well be a martyr. They could very well lose their life. So I want us to pray. You know, this is week of prayer week. I don't know if you got one of these prayer guides, but there's 8 days to pray about individuals. But then there's more than just 8 people to pray for. So let's take a moment and pray that God would have his way with these three, and it may be God's will that they become martyrs. If that be the case, then we need to pray for God's will in their life. Now, good gracious, can you imagine somebody telling you, if you share your testimony with somebody, how you got saved, then we're going to put you in jail. And most likely, we're going to take your life a little later after you get found guilty. So let's pray. Almighty Father, Lord, what a privilege it is to be a child of God. What a privilege it is, Father, to have the blessings that we have in the United States. I know, God, that we're a troubled nation, but by far this is the best nation in the world. We have freedoms, and with those freedoms, Father, come things that we don't necessarily agree with, but they don't agree with our freedom to do the way we want. So, God, thank you for allowing us to be in the United States of America in Clarksville, Tennessee, at Hillcrest Baptist Church this very moment. And as we think about all the missionaries around the world, whether they be home missionaries or foreign missionaries, Father, they're doing the same work. You've called them to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've called them, Father, to start churches. You've called them to witness to people and to take care of people's needs. And Father, we have children and young adults that are going full-time, and God, they need to feel the very presence of God in their life. I do pray, Father, for these three missionaries and their families, and I pray for Christians in Algiers, too. Lord, I pray that you would put a hedge of protection around these three. Father, that we would see a good outcome. We would see where they would be found not guilty of treason. And Lord, even if they were told not to preach, let them get out of jail and to go about preaching. Father, we know that Daniel's three friends went through the same thing, and you took care of them. I pray, Father, now for each one in here, God, that you would bless them with the word of God. Lord, that you would speak through my mouth, your thoughts, and nothing else. God, I pray for cleansing. I pray for the ability to speak your words the way you want them spoken. And I pray, Lord, that those words would pierce our hearts, every single one of us. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the time of Easter that we celebrate. God, I pray now that everything I say and do would bring honor and glory to you, to your name. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be in the book of Luke, chapter 19 today, and verses 28 through 40. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Luke 19, verses 28 through 40. And the title of this message is The People of Palm Sunday. We're going to look at some of the characters in our Bible. And as we look at them, I want us to see their character, what they're about, what they believe in. The people of Palm Sunday, starting in Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. The Bible says, when Jesus had said this, he went on ahead and going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, Many spread their clothes on the road, and then as he was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. And their message was this: Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to Jesus from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. All four Gospels mention the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. You find the story in Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11, Mark 11, verses 1 through 11, Luke 19, what we just read, 28 through 40, and then John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. Each version has different people, and some have the same people that are involved in our story of Palm Sunday. Each version has people worshiping God. For Christians, such as ourselves, Palm Sunday is a day of celebration for remembering what Jesus has done for us. We remember his victorious entry into Jerusalem. We read the account of it, but we also realize as we celebrate Palm Sunday that in Jesus' mind, in his heart, he knows what's going to happen. He knows he's riding on this colt, full well knowing that he's going to ride, and a week later he's going to die a cruel death hanging on the cross. He knows that he's going to be buried and resurrected, victory over death, not just for them, but for us. The Lord knows all this. Some have said this is one of the high marks of his ministry. This may be the highest thing that he's ever done. Well, I say the resurrection is a little bit higher than that, but that's what some just put all this together as a celebration. They combined the whole week into one event, which I don't guess anything's wrong with that. What it does is it marks the first day of what we call Holy Week or Passion Week or the Passion. It's Jesus as he goes into Jerusalem. And this is the end of his earthly ministry. He sits on that colt, entering as king. And he wants the people to know that he's king. The Lord enters, and he knows that this is going to be sacrificial for him as a Lamb of God. So we're going to look at the story. We're going to look at the actors in these stories, the people of these stories. And as we look at them, I want us together to look at the different people in these stories through the eyes of Jesus. I want us to see what Jesus sees in those people. Maybe you've heard this before, maybe you haven't. This is the first time that Jesus has ever put this on my heart to preach it like this. In fact, let me tell you something. As a preacher preaching a long time, preachers are always looking for something fresh to preach, but there's nothing more fresh than preaching the Word of God. We preach the stories whether you've heard them 100 times or one time. So if you are one of those that want a fresh story, just listen with your ears because it's going to be fresh. Maybe the same words you heard last week, but it's going to be fresh because the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us today. Let's look at these actors through the eyes of Jesus and see exactly what Jesus saw in them. We're going to start with the two disciples in verses 28 through 32. So let's read those verses again. Luke 19, 28. And we'll read through verse 32. When Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass that when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you'll find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, Why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, Because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as Jesus had said. Two disciples. The Bible does not tell us the names of these two disciples. Some may think it's Peter and John, but nobody really knows. So if you hear somebody trying to make a case like they know, well, they don't. And my point in my heart ended up with this thought. Does it really matter who he sent? The name doesn't matter at all. They did what they were told to do. So look at verse 32 and then look at verse 35. Those who were sent went the way and found it just as Jesus had said to them. And then verse 35, then they brought him to Jesus. And then they threw their own clothes on the colt and they set Jesus on him. They did exactly what the Lord told them to do. They were obedient to the Lord. And that's what a true disciple does. When God speaks to us, we do what he says to do. So as we look at these through the eyes of Jesus, I want you to see that Jesus had called those two disciples, and it's like he's looking at them just like this. And he sends them. And what does he see? He sees two disciples doing exactly what they were told to do. Shake your head if you heard me and agree with me. So the names didn't matter who these two were. What if it was your name? Would you do what Jesus told you to do? Or would you do something like this? Would you question Jesus about it just a bit? You're talking to me? Or maybe you'd say something like this, Lord, I'm going to pray about it first. How often have we heard Jesus say something, then we say, I need to pray about it. Through Jesus' eyes, he saw two disciples, and he told them what to do, and they did exactly what he told them to do. Jesus saw obedience. Since the disciples were told to go to the village and loose that colt, that leads us to another person, the owner of the colt, the owner of the colts, or the owners of the colt. Look at verses 31 through 35 again. If anyone asks you, why are you loosing that colt? Then you say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as Jesus had said. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you doing that? Why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. And then they brought that colt to Jesus. So let's look at the owner or the owners of the colt through Jesus' eyes. Again, we're not told the name of who owns this donkey, the colt. Does it really matter who the name was? What if it was your name? So several questions came to my mind about this. How many of us would hear Jesus if we owned that colt? And I don't know how this all took place. We're not told how that owner or owners knew about this, but they said, yes, take my colt. Here it is. Loose it. Take it. Jesus needs it. How many of us would do that? And I'm thinking all of us are probably going to shake our heads, yes. So I came up with this scenario in my mind, thinking about some of us guys. Anybody ever bought a brand new truck here lately? A four-wheel drive truck? Are they $10,000 for a new one? How much? Yeah, at least. If you get a Ford 250, it's on upwards to $60,000. If you get a 350, it's on up a little higher. It depends on how you get it, what you get. But let's use the $50,000 mark. You buy a new truck, and it costs you $50,000, give or take. It's a four-wheel drive. It's got leather interior. It's got that 10-speed transmission. If it's a Ford, it's got the 5.0 liter. It's a really nice truck. It's got the bed liner already been. Got that crew cab that's got seats that go up and down. When it does, you can get a whole flock of people in it. Nice truck, 18 to 19 inch wheels. Got a trailer control in it for if you call it trailer. And God tells me to go to your house and tell you I need to borrow that truck right now. And I don't tell you how long I'm going to take it, by the way. I may keep it for a week, I may keep it for a month, I may keep it forever. And you may say or think, well, I need that truck to get to work. Well, since it's Jesus sending me, I probably wouldn't go to your house anyway, Steve. Because I know what you drive. But if it was broken down, I might go to Steve's, because he can sure fix them. But you get my point? How many of us would give up the keys to a $50,000 brand new vehicle just because the preacher came and said, I need that truck. The Lord sent me. I have a feeling every one of you would say, you are a crazy preacher. There's no way. These two disciples and the owners of these colts, you don't hear them saying no at all. They're no name people. We don't know who they are, but Jesus sees obedience in these two different characters, the disciples and the owners. So let me keep on with this line of thinking that the Lord put on my heart. Can you think of a time that God has asked you to do something and you didn't do it? Go ahead. Fess up. Guilty. Can you think of a time in your life that God asked you to do something for Him? Maybe something that was of great value to you. Or maybe something to do with your time or your money or your talent or even your children. Remember Hannah in 1 Samuel? She was barren. She went, pleaded the Lord, give me a baby. Back then, that was a woman was considered useless if she couldn't produce babies. Lord, I need to have a baby. I need to have a son. And if you give me a son, then I'll give him back to you. And Samuel became a priest, a prophet, a judge. I mean, he was Mr. Go-To Guy. She was obedient to the Lord to give of that son that she dearly wanted. And she did. Samuel was probably one of the greatest Old Testament men in the Old Testament. Has God ever asked you to do anything to serve Him? God saw in these characters so far obedience. What about when we look at ourselves? Does God see obedience in us? As you ponder on these questions, I want you to think about what Jesus saw in the disciples' response to being told what to do when they got the colt. Think about what Jesus thinks when He sees us and He asks us to do something. The disciples, the colt owner, Jesus saw all these things that I'm fixing to tell you. He saw obedience, number one. He saw men that listened to Him. And they learned from Jesus' teaching. Jesus saw men that were unselfish. They put aside their plan and their purpose just to serve God. Jesus saw men who didn't question Him at all. They trusted the Lord. He saw men who knew that Jesus had a need, and they responded and took care of that need. Look at verse 31 again. And if anyone asks, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. Well, let's keep on going. And notice in verses 36 through 38 that Jesus also saw worshipers. So look at verses 36 through 38 with me. And as He went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as He was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. They spread their clothes on the road. Matthew and Mark said they spread leafy branches on the road, maybe palm branches. And then look at the message. And I kind of like the messages in Mark a little better. So run over to Mark chapter 11 and look at the message we see in Mark 11, verses 9 and 10. Mark 11, verse 9 and 10. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And I also like Matthew. So run over to Matthew chapter 21 and look at verses 9 and 10. And the Bible says, Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, save us, I pray. They're worshiping the King of Kings. Lord, we need you. They're shouting out, Lord, bless us, save us. But they weren't talking about a Savior that's going to hang on the cross. They wanted a deliverer, a mighty warrior. They wanted somebody that could defeat the Roman government. They wanted somebody that could defeat whoever is after them. They wanted somebody to agree with what they were wanting. When you worship God, there ought to be a difference in your life as you worship Him. How often do you hear me pray, Lord, let us leave differently than the way we came in? When you come into church, we all worship. We all say we're worshiping, but we ought to leave differently when we've come into the presence of God. These people were flocking in front of Jesus, laying things down in front of Him and hollering out, Lord, save us, Hosanna, save us, King of Kings. And they didn't know Jesus as Savior. They wanted to. Some of them may have. They would. It's coming. But at that moment, their life really wasn't changed. Worshiping Jesus, now hear me say this, true worship of Jesus ought to be a moment changer in our lives. I know that the Holy Spirit will take these words and pierce our hearts, and some of us will go home and act like nothing, but ever so often, something will be said out of the Bible from your preacher, and I'll give an invitation. And you'll come down for the first time in years and say, whatever you said affected my heart. We call that conviction, by the way. Convicted me of something that maybe I've just grown a little colder to the Lord. Maybe I've not been walking with the Lord. Maybe He just not as important to me as my family or my job or other things, my play and all that. I don't know sometimes what I even say up here. All I know is I'm sharing you thoughts with what God has given me, and then He takes that and He just works on us. You ever experienced that where God has just really changed you that moment that you heard it and you can't do anything, and sometimes you just got to come forward and pray about it? That's good. That's what worship's about. That's why we study the Palm Sunday. That's why we study Easter and Christmas and all the others in between. Jesus saw the worshipers. Now look at them through Jesus' eyes, and He saw people that rejected Him. The Pharisees rejected everything about Jesus. He saw other worshipers that had no idea that He was a king, that we know King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They had no idea that He was the Alpha and the Omega. They had no idea that He was the creator of this world. They had no idea that He was the one in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God, and Jesus was the Word. They had no idea about that. And Jesus, with His eyes, saw that. And the point that I think that we ought to know right now is Jesus is seeing us through His eyes. We were talking this morning in the deacon's prayer time, talking about different experiences that we've had with different people, and somebody brought up Walmart. And the things that we hear at Walmart. Yeah, you know, the yelling, sometimes a cuss word or two. You know, ungodly stuff, and sometimes you hear really good stuff at Walmart too, don't hear me wrong. But Jesus is not looking at us today. And aren't we the same people that go to Walmart? And I have seen church members that Jesus is looking at, including the preacher. Remember when COVID first hit, they told us to put 6 feet between us at Kroger's, and they put that tape. And I had no idea what that tape was. And I got in front of somebody. Oh, man. It wasn't godlike, let me tell you. But my reaction was, I apologized. I had no idea. I looked down there. They pointed the tape out to me. And by that time, my mind said, what have I done now? And it said, stay sick, whatever it said. I didn't read that. All I was thinking about how it let me out of here. I'm one of those people, too, that Jesus looks at Walmart and Kroger's and church. Did the same thing at Publix. They had these arrows pointing down every other aisle. Oh, man. I went the wrong way till somebody got in my face and told me, and I still didn't know what they were talking about. But it wasn't very Christ-like. I'm sharing all these with you because Jesus is looking at these people through his eyes, and he continues to look at people through his eyes today. He saw that the people rejected him, the Pharisees. In fact, he had an ongoing battle with them. He knew that some wanted him for other reasons than to save them from their sins. In fact, some of these people were the same ones that we find over in John chapter 18. So run over there real fast. John chapter 18, verses 39 and 40. John 18, verse 39 and 40. So some of these people that were a week ago surrounding Jesus, putting their clothes and the palm leaves and all the leafy tree limbs in front of Jesus. Save us, O Lord, save us, O Lord. Now listen to verse 39. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the King of Jews? Talking about Jesus. And then verse 40 says, they all cried again, not this man, not Jesus, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. I wrote down, they'd rather have a thief than Jesus. Some of these are the same ones that were worshiping Jesus at Palm Sunday. You know, Satan is a thief. And Satan tempts us, and sometimes we just have a grand time in those temptations. We love some of it. We fall to the temptations. Do we mean to? Probably not, but it's so tempting. And he never tempts us with something that we don't like. He always tempts us with things that he knows will tempt us. And if we're not focused solely on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to fall to that temptation. So Jesus is looking at these people with the eyes of Jesus. He looks at us the same way. So let me kind of wind this down and close with some thoughts about what Jesus sees in his church. As he looks at the church, does he see obedience? Does he see obedience at Hillcrest Baptist Church in our purpose versus his purpose? In the way we conduct our lives, whether it be Kroger's or at church. If he were to tell us right now to do something, would we do it, or would we form a committee and say, let's pray about it first? As he looks at Hillcrest Baptist Church, does he see obedience? As he looks at Hillcrest Baptist Church, does he see people who listen to him? Do you hear what Jesus has to say? And as you listen to Jesus and you hear what he has to say, do you agree with him? Do you obey with him? Do you just do what he tells you to do? Do you grow in the Lord? As he looks at Hillcrest Baptist Church, as he looks at all his churches, does he see people who don't question him, or does he see people that does, they do question him? How often do we question the Lord Jesus Christ? When you question Jesus, that just means a lack of trust, a lack of faith. It means a lack of walking close with Jesus when you question him. When Jesus looks at us, at our church, at Hillcrest Baptist Church, does he see people who know that Jesus has a need and they're willing to take care of that need? I showed you that video this morning for a purpose. We met Wednesday night at Week of Prayer to pray for our missionaries because Jesus has a need. We have missionaries that need our prayers and our support. Jesus asked us Wednesday night to pray for them. There's other needs that Jesus has, and he can only get them done by us. When he looks at Hillcrest Baptist Church, does he see people who worship him with excitement? Hosanna, save us! He comes in the name of the Lord! I mean, they weren't quiet about this. They were very vocal about it. They, I'm sure, laid those things down and just went to town. Save us, Lord! They needed help, and they knew it. So Jesus, when he looks at us, does he see an excitement with emotion, with people that are seeking him? This morning, again, in our deacon prayer time, we felt the need to ask God to forgive us of this past week's sins, your deacons and I. We all had a rotten week. We all had things that went on and we didn't react like we should have. And we asked God to forgive us, cleanse us, help us. There was tears shed this morning. When Jesus looks at Hillcrest Baptist Church, does he see people who reject him in his church? I'll let you answer that. When Jesus sees his church, would that church rather have a thief or Jesus? I'm going to close with Psalm 67. I didn't give this to Alex, so let me read it. And you just listen to the words. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known to earth, on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Psalm 67. It kind of ties up everything I've talked about. God uses these, and he looks at us. And there comes to a time when we have to hollow out to God, Lord, bless us. Lord, guide us. Tell us what to do, Lord, and we'll do it. We seek God's will and nothing else. Let's pray. Father Almighty, there may be some sitting in here today that have never invited Jesus into their life. Father, there may be somebody that has been coming to church for a long time and never really had their heart pierced with repentance. There may be others, Lord, that have not listened to the voice of God. There may be some, Father, that just haven't done it God's way. I pray, Father, for this time of invitation. God, that every single one of us would leave different than we came in here. As you rode into Jerusalem on the back of that donkey, I pray, Father, in our minds that you're riding down the aisle of Hillcrest Baptist Church. We're worshiping you, Almighty God. We're willing to do whatever you say. We're willing to take care of the needs, Lord, that you have. I pray, Lord, that you would find Hillcrest Baptist Church obedient to your will, willing to share the gospel with people that have never heard, willing to pray for those that need prayer, willing to worship God Almighty. Father, this is your time to speak to our hearts. Lord, if anybody needs to make a decision, let it be now. Lord, we'll give you the praise and honor and glory due you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll be up front if you need to make a decision for the Lord, whatever it might be. I sure would love to pray with you. If you've never invited Jesus into your heart, today would be a pretty good day to do that. Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Come into my life, and he'll do just that. Maybe you're not right with God and you need to get right. The altar's open. You're more than welcome to come up here and pray by yourself, or I'll pray with you, or I'll get somebody else to pray with you. This is the time to listen to God. If he speaks to you, respond to him.
I surrender all to him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. Savior, holy thine, let me feel thy Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all, I surrender. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power, let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender.
This is Jacob. He's been Cheyenne's boyfriend for some time, and they've both been coming back to church. And, man, I'm proud of you guys. This is a man of God here. He's been baptized and saved in the Baptist church, and he felt the need to join our church. He's Army, and he's one of those that load bullets into the cannons. He's a good guy. He blows things up. So be careful. But he's one that blows things up, and he's shaking like a leaf right now.
That's my coffee.
Yeah, coffee, truly. I know what it is. Well, it's a good thing, but I always pray that we'll be the church that he needs. And I pray today that you would pray for this young man, because he's serving our country. He's protecting us. So make it a point to pray for Jacob as you have your prayer time. Thank you. So if you would accept him, would you amen, praise the Lord?
Amen, praise the Lord.
Usually we have him standing out there, but if you can stay 6 feet or 3 feet apart, you're welcome to come welcome him. If not, you can just wave to him from out there. So.
Oh, hello. See, wave him back there?
Yeah, that's
I'll talk to him later.
Kind of bald-headed. Back
yeah,
there.
That sticks out.
Yeah. Father Almighty, thank you for this decision. Thank you for all the decisions that were made today, Father. Be with us as we go home. We pray for safety and just a good day, Father, to bless you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just pause here for a minute. Yeah, but let them.